Good evening, Saints. We're going to be doing something a little bit different tonight in the sense that Tony was supposed to be the speaker, but we had Joe Watkins' eulogy today, and we decided to we asked Gary if he wouldn't mind recording it, and he said he would, and then we asked him if he would actually play that tonight, and we think it'll be around 45 minutes or so. The gist of it was is Dave Bickle came up and led the singing. We came sang a couple songs that Joe that were Joe's favorites, and then Roger Dillman starts out by giving the eulogy for Joseph Watkins. And we decided it would be good if we could put it on the internet. I think that Val is going to try to put some of the program that we used on the website, so that could be seen there. And then after Roger got finished, then I ended up taking an opportunity to share my relationship with Joe. It seemed to go well. It was well received. It seemed like we pretty much stayed on point and did pretty much what Marjorie Watkins actually wanted us to do. And so as a result of that, I think it was profitable. I know we did this for Oscar, and I'm pretty sure we did it for May when we had recordings of the eulogy done for them. And so I hope that you all enjoy it. I trust that I know a lot of your heart would have liked to have been with us physically, but this is, I think, something that will be similar to being there. There was around 36 to 40 people that attended, and it was, like I say, a very good service. Several family members were there, and they all came up to me after the service and said how much they appreciated what we had to say about Joe and how much he meant to us. So with that, I'm just going to read a little bit about Joe. His name's Joseph L. Watkins. He was 88. It says it at Lafayette, and he passed away at 7:50 p.m. on Wednesday. That was last Wednesday, July the 20th, 2016, at the Creasy Springs Health Campus. There was some of you were able to visit Joe when we had the conference here in Lafayette, and he was in pretty good spirits and doing quite well health-wise when the conference was held in June. But he took a little turn to the worse, ended up getting some nausea and some like flu-like symptoms where he couldn't hold anything down. And then he got he just couldn't eat. And so he ended up passing away on the 20th. He was born August 25th, 1927, in Lafayette. And he was the son of the late Lewis and Ethel Downs Watkins. Joe also honorably served in the United States Army. And his first marriage was to Betty L. Davis on June 23rd, 1943, in Lafayette, and she preceded him in death. And then he later married Marjorie Ruth Kaiser on May 24th, 1987, in California, and she survives. Joe was self-employed as a developer and a builder. He also worked at a factory, but they didn't list this in the paper. And most of what's being said here is what Joe actually had the people at the funeral home record. He developed Watkins Lynn Subdivision, and he was the past president of Truth for Today Ministries from 1986 to 2002. Joe enjoyed golfing and traveling, and especially enjoying his trips to Israel, Hawaii, France, and Switzerland. And of course, we all know that he certainly enjoyed Bible study and enjoyed studying and finding out the truth of what God had to say in His Word. Surviving with his wife, Marjorie Watkins, are his children Roger Watkins, his wife Jean, Adina Dyer, her husband Grant, both of Lafayette and siblings, Minnie Spurgeon of Lafayette and Myrtle Garrison of Waseca. And then he has four grandchildren, had four grandchildren, and several great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death with his parents and his first wife, son Terry Watkins. And I knew Terry quite well and ended up actually doing his eulogy. So that's about all I will say about that, about the what the part with the or Gary hadn't got that quite queued up yet. So the only other thing I will share is that we do have the program that we used, and if somebody actually wants a copy of that, we are going to try to send some of those out to people who need them. They may be on the website also, but there is a nice picture of Joe, and one of his favorite verses, Ephesians 3:9, is on the front of the program. And for you saints that just mentioned that you would like to have a copy, we're actually going to take these to the Wisconsin Conference, and anybody that wants one, if they come to the conference, they can receive one there also. I'm thinking if he doesn't get this up, probably in another minute or two. I don't know if Roger has got his notes there, if he would be willing to do that, to do what he said there live. It obviously wouldn't be exactly the same as being there, but it would be close. I see Gary saying just another minute. So, hopefully we'll be able to do the recording. We always trust the Lord for these things, and Roger and I will be the backup plan if that doesn't work. So, you guys can still, hear what we shared at this church that was just about a mile from our building.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This was a special day for me to get to, which in my talk here that I had, it was a special day for me to be able to talk about Joe and give a little bit of a message on what our group believes, and this is how it started out. He says, through my eyes, this is how I saw Joe Watkins. When Joe was in good health, he always enjoyed dining out with his wife Marjorie. So often, he always wanted to, and Sunday afternoons, they had this card that they could go all different places and get a little discount on eating, and he always enjoyed eating out. I met Joe here in Lafayette at the Truth for Today office about 20 years ago. I dropped in one day and introduced myself to Joe, and we had a good little chat. I had heard of Joe through the Truth for Today mailers that I had received in the mail, and I just wanted to meet this guy called Joe Watkins. From the very beginning of our friendship, Joe always had time to visit and to discuss scripture and scripture questions about God's Word that I might have, either by phone or by in person. Joe received a lot of phone calls at the office. Just to give you one example of a fellow that now is involved with Truth for Today and comes to our conferences each year, is a fellow named Nick Koniski from Billings, Montana, who by accident picked up a used book by E.W. Bullinger called The Church Epistles at a used bookstore, no less. Nick really enjoyed how Bullinger wrote, and Nick understood some things that he hadn't seen or read before. And inside the book was the phone number of the Truth for Today office here in Lafayette, Indiana. And all of you, if you ever noticed the literature that Joe always, he always, someplace in the beginning or end of them books, he's got stamped the phone number in there. The very first time they talked on, Nick and Joe talked on the phone, they talked for a little over an hour about Mr. Bullinger and God's Word, and the Truth for Today message. Joe made some recommendations, sent him some literature and a couple of books. A book that Joe recommended to Nick was a book called All, written in 1934 by J.S. Mills. Bob Gunther, our president, has the book on hand at the Truth for Today office. If you get this book, there's some things I'd like for you to do. Every time that it gives you a scripture reference, I want you to stop. I want you to look it up. And when you come to an interesting statement or a verse, I want you to highlight it. I want you to meditate on it. In fact, I'm telling you that I got my first copy of All Truth October the 12th, 1994, 22 years ago. Joe was chosen in 1986, basically, to take over Oscar Baker's monthly newsletter publication newspaper program that had been in effect since 1948. Due to a fall Oscar had experienced, and shortly thereafter Oscar's death in Warsaw, Indiana. Joe held a weekly Bible study on Wednesday. Now, you got to understand here, I'm talking to some people that didn't know a lot about Joe. But Joe held a weekly Bible study on Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings here in Lafayette. He mailed literature and books out each week, and also each month he mailed out the Truth for Today study newspaper. Joe really enjoyed God's Word and what it had to offer. Joe showed himself approved to continue Mr. Baker's paper. Joe made his living for many years as a home builder and a developer of building lots in a local subdivision here in Watkins Glen in Lafayette, Indiana. In his Bible studies, Joe would try to help folks understand how dispensational truth has come down to us over the past 100 years or so by using the picture or illustration of how a house is built. The first thing that Joe would tell us about building a house is you need to lay a solid foundation, which E.W. Bullinger had done with studying Scripture. It was after the foundation has been put in for the new house that Joe would next call the framing crew. The people is very technical and very precise. It is here that we see how the Lord has used people like Charles Welch. Charles Welch was a person who gave us the solid foundation of dispensational truth for today. Now, once the framers are done their part, then Joe would call on the finishers. They would make the house ready to live in on a daily basis. That's how men like Oscar Baker, Stuart Allen, Joe Watkins, and others have been used by the Lord. Then we have a building for today that is very dispensationally sound, but not without error. We are still striving for perfection in our understanding of God's Word. Joe said that one of the reasons that he had been drawn to such men as I have listed is their continual desire and willingness to lay hold of a new light. Always remaining in a learning mode, never ceasing once to say that they could be wrong, always urging their readers to study the Word on their own. As Mr. Baker always said, don't take my word for it, look it up yourself. Joe so often always said that he did not see himself as a teacher, but only as a full-time learner. Joe had only one desire, one goal. Joe had only one objective, and that was to be a learner of the Word of Truth, especially the divine truth of God that was given for this present day. Joe felt that the person who holds himself up to being a teacher of divine truth was not a good learner. Because today we have only one teacher of the divine truth of God, and that is God Himself in spirit form. Now, I ask you, where did Joe get that information, or how did he come up to that conclusion? Okay, in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And also another good verse that Joe used was Ephesians 1:17. "Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Joe so often had shared with us that he did not actually start studying the actual words of God and their meaning until sometime in his mid-40s. And even when he had his weekly Bible study, Joe so often would spend at least 90% of his study time studying out the meaning of words the Lord used to express God's mind and God's will to us in his Bible. In spite of all the changing and corruption of our English translated Bibles by men, the Spirit of truth has been faithful in preserving the Bible and God's truth. When you really think about it, the day we live in is the greatest day the world has ever known for the study of God's words. When you talk about beginning your study in Scripture, God, our Savior, absolutely desires that all men be saved. So, it only stands to reason that he would make it just as easy as possible. And God desires that all saved people come into the knowledge of the truth. One of God's main desires for us can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy 2:3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Joe encouraged every person, male and female, in our studies to seek out God's knowledge that was in the Scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, it reads, "If anyone teaches otherwise, or consents not with other wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine of godliness." So in 1 Timothy 6, 3, if any person, I'm talking man or woman, and I'm talking about regardless of who they might be, or their position in life they might hold, or the degrees they might have behind their name, that would teach otherwise. For a person to teach otherwise is to teach something different or changed gospel, especially a gospel which has had the Mosaic Law mixed in with it. The word in that verse, consents, in other words, or comes to you, in 1 Timothy 6:3, in this case, when they came to the church in Ephesus, evidently there were those who traveled from church to church, and especially when these speakers didn't come with sound words from the gospel of the grace of God, which had been committed to Paul for this present church age, are built around the gospel that was given to Paul, which he several times refers to as either my gospel or the mystery. Remember that Paul's bold position in this declaration of this mystery gospel was what caused him to be put in prison. And when it comes to the words, the sound words, I want to remind you, Jesus never used the words sound words when he referred to the gospel of the kingdom, which he taught about while he was here on earth. And Paul never confused the Jesus kingdom message with the gospel of the dispensation of the mystery message, which had been revealed to Paul from heaven. Now, it's really important that each one of us recognize that Jesus Christ spoke two distinct messages. The first one was, the first distinct message was, while he was here on earth, and we often refer to them as the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the message was about an earthly kingdom, which was presented to the nation of Israel after his death. This kingdom message was limited just to the Israelites. The second distinct message was revealed to the Apostle Paul after Christ ascended into heaven. And this second message is the truth or the sound words that Paul's referring to. Sound words here emphasize an accurate teaching and doctrine, and the word godliness here in 1 Timothy 6:3. It's referring to a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. And also, Paul wrote to Titus about this thing called sound words. In Titus 1:9, it reads, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, or in other words, convict, the gainsayers, in other words, of the people who spoke against Paul. God, for now, or at this particular time, is dealing with his people on the basis of grace, not on the basis of the law of Moses. The reason an elder in Ephesus was to firmly hold to the faithful word was in order that they might be able to have the ability to encourage other believers in sound teaching and sound doctrine. I'm going to give you some examples of, in other biblical times, when God gave sound doctrine or sound teaching to his people, and that would be, the first one I want to mention to you is, the truth which God spoke to Adam and Eve was sound teaching for Adam and Eve. When God spoke to Noah, it was sound teaching for Noah. The Mosaic Law, which God gave to Israel, was sound teaching for Israel for some 1,400 years. The truth which God revealed to the Apostle Paul is the sound teaching or sound words for us in this present church age. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. God is not telling us for today to not eat the fruit of a certain tree, nor is God instructing us to build an ark, nor is he telling us to keep the law given to Moses. But God is telling us today, as Joe Watkins also did, to speak to other believers about the sound doctrine and sound teaching that was given to and given by the Apostle Paul. I think you could say here that the Apostle Paul's overwhelming drive here was to help make all men see the truth for the church, which is the body of Christ, and of which Christ is the head. Paul wrote to also his other helper Titus in Titus 2 verse 1. And that verse reads, but speak thou the things which, listen to me here, become sound doctrine. The Greek form 4241 for the word become in Titus 2:1 means that whatever Titus said, it was to become or to at least align with the sound doctrine and sound teaching of the Apostle Paul. In other words, Titus must not be out there on the island of Crete among new believers and elders teaching anything that would contradict what Paul had taught, because Paul was very adamant in his instructions to Titus and also to Timothy on what to say and what to do. Titus was to speak only about the words of sound teaching. Whatever Titus teaches was to match up with the sound teaching of Paul. But also, God is telling you and I today to speak the sound doctrine that was made known to Paul and by Paul. When it comes to word study, Joe encouraged each one of us to always or continually use a concordance. And a good example of a concordance would be the Strong's Concordance, the Young's or Vine's Concordance, and to seek out the meaning of the words in each verse and how each word affected the total meaning of that particular verse. Joe helped a lot of people to get started in a good constructive Bible study pattern. In Titus 2:7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern, Greek form 51:79, for the word pattern means a die or a model or an example. In other words, Joe helped the new believer or new student with a pattern to have a successful Bible study. Joe continually taught us, all of us, men and women, to seek Greek form 22:12, truth that is embedded in Scripture by the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 3:1, it reads, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sits at the right hand of God. The first thing that you and I are to do is we are to seek those things which are above, which literally means that we are to pursue after, strive for, and if the truth be known, we will probably struggle to attain these things. The verb seek means that believers are commanded to continuously, not once in a while thing or a one-time thing. We are to continuously seek the things which are from above. You and I must understand, as Joe did, that Paul is not giving us believers an option to be or not to be. We are to be continuously focusing our minds on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The bottom line is, you and I cannot serve both the things above and the things upon the earth. At the same time, it comes down to obedience or disobedience to the command of Christ through Paul. Joe would also encourage or tell us that our prayer for each one of us believers at this particular time in history should be for us to be able to, listen to me, boldly stand with Paul in making known the gospel of the mystery, for the church which is the body of Christ, and of which Christ is the head. And I want you to know today, when I was in that church, there was people that belonged to this church, and there were some other people that only knew of Joe. They did not know about his message, and I wanted you to know that I boldly stood up for what I believed and what Joe believed and what all of you do. Joe always encouraged us to rightly divide the information that we come to in the Bible. And what do I mean by rightly dividing? I mean keeping the files in order, not mixing the Joneses and the Smith information. In your shop, it would mean keeping all parts in their respective bins and the records accordingly. In the kitchen, there should be a place for everything so that it can be found. If we can be orderly at home and work and business, I'm asking you then, why shouldn't you and I do the same with the Word of God? Pajamas have their place and use, but you're not to wear them to your job. That is simply rightly dividing. It's simply keeping things in order. Joe would tell us, first of all, rightly dividing in Scripture consists of looking for the address on the envelope, looking to see to whom was it written, and for what purpose was it written. last verse I'm going to talk to you about when I come to Joe is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Joe showed himself approved. Joe showed himself a workman. Joe definitely was not ashamed. Joe not only rightly divided the word of truth, but also taught others to do the same. Joe really enjoyed sharing the message that the Apostle Paul was given. Many are called and few are chosen. Joe was one of the chosen. Also, Joe was available to be used for God's work when God called on him. Joe was a seeker of the truth, was always concerned with sharing the truth. Joe will be missed. And I thank you. That's all I had to say today.
Well said.
Thank you, Roger. There was just a little bit of a break at the end of what he spoke on. He did an excellent job in repeating that. I don't have near the notes that Roger had. And so what I'm going to say that I talked about, there may be a word or two a little different here or there, but basically it's going to be what I talked about when I stood up there. And the first thing that I mentioned was that I had known Joe a little bit longer than Roger had, that I knew him from a child. And as a result of that, he would gather up the kids in the neighborhood, and we were kind of playing games and stuff. And we probably did that for a month or so, and then after that, he decided to get more serious about the scriptures. And I can remember very clearly that he said that if there's anybody who wants to accept the Lord, they can come forward now, and they can accept him right now, this afternoon. And I was not really ready at that point in time in my life. I felt like that I wanted to have some fun, and my opinion at that time was that Christians don't have any fun. And I didn't want to give that up. So as ridiculous as that might sound now, at the time as a child, the way I was thinking, it made perfect sense. But Joe did impress me to the degree that I knew that he knew God. He truly believed in God. And so when I was around 28 and a half, which was several years later, and I went through some hard times, some experiences that led me to the idea or the thought that I needed to give my life over to the Lord and let Him take control of it. So what I did, I ended up spending some time with. Joe had a couple sons and a daughter, Terry and Roger and Adina, and I ended up going over and seeing Roger and Terry, and basically more Roger Watkins than Terry. But yeah, it was on Underwood Street, and I mentioned that Gary was there also, that he was involved like that from the beginning. I don't know when Gary actually gave his life over, but I know for me, I believed in God. But I just didn't make him my Lord, my Savior at that point in time. But when I was 28 and a half, I would go and read verses, and of course it didn't make very much sense to me until I believed. But I spent probably about 3 weeks, and ended up after that time, I found out every time I had a question, I was taking to Roger. He was going to Joe for the answer. And I decided I could go to Joe myself and just kind of cut out the middleman. And that's what I ended up doing. Later on, we all got involved with the with the truth. We did get saved. Spent probably about two and a half years in the Acts 13 view, and we didn't know it very well. And so, whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, Joe was much deeper into it than we were. And so when we finally started to move toward the Acts 28 position, then it was a thing that we had to discuss with Joe to convince Joe that what he was sharing wasn't the truth. And so, what we ended up doing was we actually convinced Joe about the Acts 28 position, and we had to go through each point with him, each point that he would brought up that we weren't grounded in, and it was we were able to come over much more quickly, but we finally did. We finally did get Joe to come over to the truth. And I think he really appreciated the fact that we were willing to spend the time and were better grounded in the truth. You know, a good student will continue to listen no matter where the truth is coming from. And he didn't, he was humble in affairs, and so he was willing to allow us sort of to instruct him, even though we didn't know very much. But it was a very interesting time in our lives. And as we begin to continue to, we fellowshipped in the building that we're in now, but we used to fellowship in the place where all the books are now. We used to actually fellowship there. And as we got a better understanding of the truth, we kind of went from like 40 people down to, currently we have about 6 or 7. So it does seem like that happens. Not that any of us regret it, but the fact that we were, we became smaller, but more serious about the scriptures. That was about all I talked about for my own personal relationship with Joe, what Joe meant to me, and how Joe had completely changed my life. Joe, and of course the Holy Spirit's guidance, changed my life into something that I didn't know was possible. And by the way, I didn't say this at the meeting, but Christians do have fun. Christians do enjoy the scriptures, and they do enjoy fellowship one with another. That to me is one of the dearest things about it. And of course, at 10, 11, 12 years old, I did not realize that. But that sort of was the impact that me personally. And then what I end up talking about, because I know there were some people there, and there may be some people listening to this particular message that didn't know Joe and didn't know that his other life, his spiritual life, was actually more important to him than it was to be a home builder. He was much more serious, much more in tune with the truth. He wanted to know the truth. So what I ended up doing is I read from the program where it says Joe is asleep in Christ. I don't know about the rest of you, but to me, it was good that we had the freedom to say the truth about his death, about his passing, and we could say it in reality the way the Lord sees it, is he is asleep. Joe is asleep in Christ, and he's awaiting resurrection. I mentioned at the conference, our whole theme of that conference was about resurrection, and now it seems like it was a more fitting time to discuss that and know that because of trying to explain to others where Joe is now. He's at peace. He's at rest. He's got no more struggle. But he will not appear before we do. Christ is invisible right now in the heavenlies, and when he appears, we will appear, all of us will appear at the same time. So it's a beautiful thing to realize that. And it was good that was received by all that were there, even some of the members of this other group. They hadn't heard that before. And I was very pleasantly surprised that they came away, I think, with an appreciation for Joe, even though they didn't know him, that what he had to say and how he devoted his life to the scriptures was a very blessed thing. So then I end up reading some verses, and you can go ahead and post these. I read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. And it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And all I can say to that is praise the Lord. Joe believed that. Joe taught that. And I believe that. And I understand what's being said here. Then I went to Ephesians chapter 3 and I read verses 8 to 10 where it said, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, where he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, and I made the comment that Joe felt that way about him, that he was the least of the other saints. Gary had posted a little bit earlier that Joe only had a sixth grade education, so he never felt like that he was somebody who could be a teacher. Someone who could share, yes. But to stand up in front of others and be a leader and a guide, I don't think that he really realized the power that he had when he would read the scriptures and when he would explain the scriptures to us. I did not mention this at the conference, but Joe has written about a half a dozen books. And I'm not going to mention the titles to them, but we do have them in our building. And we do have those for sale. If somebody goes on the website and looks for them, they can certainly find the titles. But it is something that he was able to do, and he became, to us, very wise as he learned what words meant, and as he had a very homespun way of sharing the truth with us, even going so far as to invent some words. I use the expression that Joe used, truthing, that we are to speak the truth in love. And Joe called that truthing. And then the other explanation he gave for us as saints is believing ones. We are believing believers. So it's like you're going to another step. You're moving one step further in what you believe when you become a believing believer. And you want to walk the walk and talk the talk and share the truth with others. I'm trying to see. I don't think I read. I didn't read the rest of that verse. Let me finish it. It says Ephesians 3, 8 to 10, that the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see. And I made the comment that Joe used to have a bumper sticker on his, where a license plate goes on the front of his car, and it had Ephesians 3:9. It didn't really quote the whole verse there, but those of us who know Ephesians 3:9, we knew immediately what he stood for and what he emphasized from his Bible study. So it's to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 10, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Then we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, which, again, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Then 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 6 to 8, for I am now ready to be offered. And I said, Joe was ready to be offered. He felt like, I talked to Marjorie a little bit about this. I didn't mention this at the conference, but he had, he was actually ready to go probably a year or so before. But the fact of the matter is, Joe was still being used of the Lord. In the nursing home, he was a witness for the Lord. And he was an encourager while he was there, while he was living there, and they were taking care of him. It's a very good testimony that he had. So, like when Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand, it's a departure from this life. It doesn't mean he's going to immediately go up and be in the heavenly places. His spirit returns to God who gave it. His body returned to the dust. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And this is the part that I wanted to emphasize, that I did emphasize. And he says, and not to me only. Paul says, not to me only, but unto all them also that love or have a very high regard for his appearing. And then finally, I got to Philippians chapter 3 and read verses 14 and 15 where it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, and I said this part of the verse was a part that Joe really emphasized to us. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It gave us the attitude that we didn't have to convince people. We didn't have to, it wasn't our responsibility if we taught the truth. And they didn't receive it, it was okay. If someone was otherwise minded, it was okay. The Lord, if they were sincere, really wanted to know the truth, the Lord would reveal it to them. It's very, very assuring. Sometimes we feel like we're failures when we try to share this message. It doesn't come through. Then finally, I have three more verses. It's actually on the back of the program. And it's one that Roger, but on this program it starts out by saying, Joseph L. Watkins, dedicated to the word of truth, rightly divided, as set forth in Scripture. So the first one, obviously, that we need is 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says study. We know that means be diligent. But it's to show thyself approved unto God, not unto other men, not to anyone else other than the Lord, His approval. That's what we're seeking, not our own, and certainly not others. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, we emphasize that Joe just didn't, you know, we just didn't stay in the last seven books that Paul wrote, but we use all Scripture, for it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Obviously, you have to see who it's written to and see which parts are directly to us, which parts are just making an application to us. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then finally, Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent. I know the world, being politically correct, doesn't want us to do this, but we actually have to make a judgment and a decision when we approve things that are excellent. We're making comparisons, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And when we do that, it says that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So that's basically what we said, what we spoke on. As I said before, we ended up closing with the song Amazing Grace, which again was another one of Joe's favorites. The three songs that I picked out were songs that were his favorite, and it seemed to go very well. It was very, very well received, which we were truly, truly thankful about that. So let me close with a word of prayer, and then hopefully you all got something from this, and that it's not the same as being there, of course, but it's certainly better than not being there at all and missing what was said. We certainly did love Joe. We continue to love Joe, and he still is in our hearts and thoughts and mind, even though he's no longer with us. And as Roger said, we are going to miss him. He's just one of those people that leaves an impression on you where you just, you were better off having known him than not knowing him, for sure. So, Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence. We do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that Roger and I were given to share the truth. We're thankful that it was received, that people heard what was said, and we trust that each one got to know Joe a little better as a result of what we had to share with them. We'd ask that you'd bless us all, continue to give us the understanding and the guidance that we need so that we might be better servants for you. For we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.